popping here for a couple minutes, I can say hello to you. Mr. Wonstadt.
Dave Wonstadt.
I see light mango.
NFL head coach for 11 years.
Super Bowl 27. The Bills and the Cowboys, and we're delighted to have you with us.
Every game starts out pretty fast, but then at some point, the game slows down and becomes just another game.
Coach called a blitz. Kenny, it's your turn. I really like blitzing.
Two receivers right, Kelly back to throw.
Kind of went airborne and reached out to grab Jim Kelly.
Having trouble getting away, and he is acting as if he's hurt. He got hit right on that bad right knee as Ken Norton came shooting through.
Well, this is a strategic blitz. You're going to see what happens here. Norton just picks the right spot. Davis is supposed to pick him up. Watch Jim Kelly's left knee. Dallas not known as a particularly big blitzing football team, but they catch him in a dead spot here. This Dallas defense under Jimmy Johnson, Dave Wonstadt, who becomes the Chicago Bears football coach.
There's Wonstadt on lower right.
With the mustache.
Looks like Bill Cowher, the Pittsburgh coach, a little bit, doesn't it?
And Ditka likes it. What kind of a guy is this?
Form is something tall and strong. Make it a hurricane before I go insane. It's only 12:30, but I don't care.
You don't care.
I don't care.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
Absolutely.
It's 5 o'clock here.
Right here.
And 5 o'clock on Thursdays during football season means our beloved coach Dave Wonstadt.
Come on now.
It is 5 o'clock. You know, we moved this show used to be at 4, and because we started at 5 o'clock, and generally I'm sipping a Bradshaw bourbon, they decided to move it to 5.
Yeah, man. Ryan Porth, you got any bourbon for Coach
Johnson? No. You know what? I had one in my hand. I talked to Terry this week. We will get Terry on the show at some point. He's got a new company now. So his old company, I don't know what happened to it, but he's a case is on the way for me. Okay, so we'll have some new brand bourbon in here.
You know, look, the morning show, Mully and Haw, they have morning wani, and I enjoy morning wani. I think most people do, but afternoon wani is my favorite wani. I mean, it always has been. So you know, we're going to get a chance this year to relax and do what we do with the coach, right, Lawrence? I mean, talking games and previewing, and also just hanging out. It's going to be good.
It's a lot of fun. Our segment with Dave Wonstadt is brought to you by Four Winds Casino, your entertainment escape. And we'll have picks a little bit later on. Troy Aikman is going to join us at 5:20. What's the beginning of the season like for you? You love football more than anyone I know. So what's this like as we get ready to open up another NFL season?
Well, every coach, you know, and hopefully every player, and every fan, rightfully so. I mean, they truly believe that that their team is a playoff team, a potential Super Bowl team. I hate to say the word Super Bowl, but, you know, the old saying, if you can get into the playoffs, you know, you're one play away from the next one and then getting into the Super Bowl. So I think every organization, every city right now is truly feeling, even though we know that there's probably about 8 or 10 teams that are real big-time contenders, every team, even the bottom teams, are optimistic that, hey, you know what, it's kind of funny because the coaches, you know, you draft these kids and, boy, when you get them in, you say, wow, I didn't realize, you know, Lawrence is a little quicker than I remember him when we drafted him.
He really is.
And Spiggs, you see him come off the ball? He I don't remember that. So every, you know, all of a sudden all your players become faster and bigger and stronger. And that's the fun part about it, obviously. If you're not excited this time of year, you never will be. So it's all good. And, you know, now there's no turning back now. You got to go play the damn games.
Yeah, game on. And what you're giving voice to, this idea that every team can have that feeling. Yep. The NFL historically delivers that. There's always a few teams that didn't make the playoffs that make it the next year. Turnarounds happen, and they can happen quick in the NFL.
Almost, it's, you know, that's one of the big bets out there, right? Who's going to be the last place team in the conference to win last place team in their division to win their division. And there's usually one or two every year that fall into that category. So We'll see. It's exciting. And the Bears, you know, they're going to be under the spotlight, the national spotlight, mm-hmm. right off the bat, obviously, with Monday Night Football.
We got three games at night and the full Sunday afternoon slate before that. Lawrence has been calling it dessert on Monday night when we finally get the Bears. This game tonight, Nick Sirianni is not letting the Eagles players be involved in the ring and banner ceremony before this game tonight. He's going to have them stay back in the locker room, trying to set that mindset to go after it again as a repeat. You lived that in Dallas. What do you think about that?
You know what? I don't have a problem with that at all. I mean, the players at this point, you know, they're doing their last minute things, their rituals. Every football players and coaches are very routine. You know, in other words, we know what we have to do Monday to be ready, you know, 7 days later, 6 days later to play a game. So every moment, every hour of every day is kind of laid out what your plan is to work. And it's the same way when you get into the locker room. You know, coaches have their routine. Players have their warm-ups as far as how many throws I'm going to throw to the right and to the left and how many deep balls. So, you know, for them to have to stand out there and go through this ring ceremony, mm-hmm. you know, that's that would mentally kind of throw a lot of those guys out of their normal routine, to knock them out of sync a little bit. I could see where, heck, I wouldn't want to be part of it either, you know?
And Jalen Hurts has kind of been saying throughout camp, like, it's great, we're happy. That ring doesn't matter right now. Like, now it's, can we go and win the next one, and trying to get themselves ready for what should be a really interesting season. And an interesting season in the NFC East, too. Like, that move last week with Micah Parsons and how it affects not just the Cowboys, but how it affects the Bears, because now Micah Parsons is playing for Green Bay. I know he's got the back issues. He might have to take a shot.
That's crazy. That would scare me to death if I'm, you know, Green Bay. Hmm. And all of a sudden, you got to get an epidural. I mean, that's not like, I mean, that's a serious thing. That means spinal cord. That means nerves, you know, the whole bit. We've all had neck and back injuries. I mean, if you go for an epidural, there's something going on. So that would concern me if he's got to do that, not having any training camp basically at all.
Does this make Jerry look a little better in making that deal?
Heck yeah, it does. Heck yeah, it does. I mean, you know, not that Jerry knew anything.
He offered him.
But he'll say he did.
Jerry on the record said that he offered him more guaranteed money than what the Packers. So Jerry doesn't get off for this.
No.
Like, Jerry doesn't get to be like, oh, big mega brain. No. He had offered Micah more guaranteed money than what the Packers did. So let's not act like he was some bleeping genius in this.
And he admitted that. He said, hey, and he used the word, I moved off my mark to make him the highest paid non-quarterback player in the National Football League. So, what you're saying is correct. There's no question about that. And, it didn't work out for whatever reason.
It feels like, just since we got there, it feels like Jerry Jones not that interested in building a winner. I don't know. Call me crazy, but it feels like he's pretty interested in building a spectacle and having something interesting and being decent.
Well, I don't know about that. I wouldn't go that far. You know, I mean,
I just did, Coach.
Yeah, you just did. You know, the interesting thing is, I love this comment when they said, "How's it going to affect the rest of your football team whenever their contracts are up after going through this and watching Parsons go through it?" And he says, "I'll tell you what. I'm going to tell him. Go talk to Dak." He says, Dak Prescott is the highest paid player in the whole National Football League. Go talk to Dak. Hmm. If you don't think I'll pay, in other words, that's not true. So, and Jerry likes his guys. You know, I mean, Michael Irvin and Emmett, I mean, people say they're still on the payroll. They do stuff for him. I mean, if you're one of Jerry's guys, he takes good care of you down there. And I don't know where it went sideways, obviously, with the agent. With Parsons, and it's history now, so we'll see what happens.
Coach, you're looking good in that Netflix documentary.
Yeah.
There wasn't enough of you in it, but you're looking good in it.
I guess we didn't play any defense that year. I forgot, I don't know who was the number one defense total, rushing, third down.
I think you know who it was.
I know who. I damn right know who it was. Okay.
It was you guys?
And we didn't have an. All they talked about was Charles Haley throwing helmets in the locker room. You know, that was the only defense in
and
the
locker. And almost hitting Jerry in the head with a
helmet. Yeah, that was the only love we really got. So, you know, that.
You got a little bit of love on the defense against the Bills when you guys like just started wrecking them in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, maybe.
A little bit.
But you know, the Tony Casillas and Kenny Norton's. I mean, there were so many great players that we had that really, you know, Leon Letts of the world that stepped up and in addition to Charles Haley. And anyway, it is what it is, you know.
What happens in your life when that documentary airs? Does your phone blow up with former players and coaches and pals?
No, I talked to a bunch. You know, I obviously talked to Jimmy, you know, pretty quick. He got a copy of it before it became public, you know, and we talked about it. But, you know, I called Tony Wise and I said, Tony, did you see the thing? And his comment was, why would I watch that? You know, Tony's.
And he's Mr. TV.
Well, yeah, but he's very selective Mr. TV, okay?
Oh, he's the best.
He just soon watched the Blackhawks. He just soon watched the Blackhawks, sure. Or he's a New Yorker, watch the Yankees play baseball.
Or an old movie.
Or an old movie. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Here's the thing.
And the work of Adam McKay. He's a big fan.
He's coming in October. I don't know when, but
please bring him by.
We'll try to get by.
We love Tony, and Tony's great. I had always liked Jimmy. And then having the chance to work with you, I'm like, man, I like Jimmy a little bit more. And then you introduced me to Norv, and I'm like, God, I like Norv a lot too.
Yeah.
Well, and I walked away from this being like, I really like Jimmy. Like, I
like
what what he stands for. I like what he's about. I like that he doesn't take any. I just really like that.
This is too late. He's the morning show guy. You know, I got all my guys that I bring around. Jimmy.
He's on the boat by now.
He was on the boat. I think he said, and it was early. Because he gets up at 4:30. He's on the water before the sun comes up. And I called him the other day.
The boat is loaded. I've got the ice and the cold ones on it right now. And as soon as I get off this phone, I'm starting the engines and I'm going offshore.
That was the end of his hit with the morning show.
Yeah, that's...
We got no shot.
Oh,
we know it.
You know what? Turning back to the Bears a minute, the staff that we had, because you said you liked all these guys, we were all you know, Tony Wise and I were the assistants together at Pittsburgh, as was Jimmy and I. North Turner and I worked together at USC. So we were all kind of connected through, and that's kind of what the Bears have now. You know, mm-hmm. I've been up to practices there, and when Bill Johnson, you know, their senior defensive line coach, Bill was on our staff at University of Miami, the Hurricanes, the championships, and then, you know, talking to Ben and Dennis Allen, you know, everybody's either tied in through New Orleans, tied in through the Miami Dolphins, or tied in through Detroit. And that's what you got to have. And you know, because in an old expression, boy, you don't want to take a job and have to coach your coaches. You know, by coach your coaches, it means spending time mm-hmm. telling them, you know, how we're going to do things, the tempo, we don't want to walk, whatever those little things that can really, you know, put a wet blanket on a good practice. You eliminate those things if everybody's been together and we all know how we're going to do things, and you go do your job.